Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I believe God's going to move some mountains today. I believe He can do it again. Now, let me just, before I even get to my little scripture, you know what is, I do it again means sometimes He has delivered you out of sickness. But delivered out of sickness when you broke don't do very good. God's going to fill in the blank for it. You may not need to be healed from sickness, but you are broke. But God can do it again. The it is what you need right now. And God's going to fill in the blank for the it that you need right now. Some of you need encouragement right now. Some of you need a blessing right now. Some of you need to be changed right now. Some of you need to be healed right now. But you know what? God is able to do it. Exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can ask, think, or imagine. Glory to God. That wasn't on my script. That's okay. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. We're going to talk today about the faithfulness of His presence. Kind of a drawing a little parallel here of some things that God wants to do in the next few weeks. We're talking about discipleship. We kind of meld these two things together, but we'll read the responding verses will be on the screen behind me, and you go ahead and take care of those. The Bible says this to Joshua. It says, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, everyone together. Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, "Prepare provisions for yourselves. For 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Anybody ready to cross over? I can put it into context of, it doesn't have to be 3 days. It could be the next 30 minutes. That God can take you from where you are to where you need to be. And I believe there's faith in the house today for God to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name at which all demons tremble, the name at which there's power to deliver folks from all oppression and all the things of this world, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare today there are great things about to be done. But Lord, the faithfulness of your presence is what we want to talk about today, of the times when we thought you that it wasn't going to happen. Lord, we've been around the walls many times. We'll talk about Jericho in a few weeks. But Lord, we've walked around this same wall wondering when those things are going to fall. But today, God, is a breakthrough day for somebody in the house. And God, we just rejoice in you. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. You know, one of the most difficult things for me when I get in trouble or something's going on is I forget all the things that God has done to get me where I am today. Anybody else in the house sometimes like that? Sometimes we act like God hadn't done nothing for us. I didn't say nothing, I said nothing. Because we get so confused. And I'm not saying that as a downer to anyone, but the devil will give us amnesia. And we feel like this problem is going to take you out. But I want to let you know that's a lie. That God's about to do something, but we have to take a time to remember the faithfulness of his presence. We must allow ourselves to move forward into being a journey of pursuing our destiny and purpose that God has for us. Now, the one scripture that you'll find in the Old Testament and the New, he says these words, I will never leave you. If you're feeling abandonment today, I want to let you know that's not true. God is faithful to his word. Never means never. It means don't worry about it. I've got you covered. The three things we'll talk about today I think will be important. Well, does it need to change or do you need to change? You want it to change and God wants you to change. If my kids, if my situation would change, I'd be so much better. I'm telling you what, God's working on you. The it is sometimes misplaced in our way of thinking. So we'll just put that away for just a few moments and we'll get to that. Number two, have you captured a vision for what Jesus may want to do through you as you surrender to him? You know, the Bible says this, without a vision, the people perish. Call it vision, call it focus, call it anything you want. But if you're not if you're not focused on something, you'll go for anything. Can I say that again? If you aren't focused on something, you'll go for anything. It comes down the pipe, oh, that looks good, and you jump on that. You wonder sometimes, I think ADD was one of those things they defined. You know, attention deficit disorder. You started doing this, you started cleaning out the closet, and now you're in the car. Don't be looking at me like I'm crazy. Then you start with my baby, Sister Patricia, she's out there, and she will tell you, she's the queen of distraction. Love Sugar. Sugar, I love you. But she can start, and she says, I'll be in there in a minute. An hour and a half later, because she saw something that triggered something in her mind. I'm going to go camp there. Let me go on to number three. Are you willing to be on the Lord's side without questioning whether he is on yours? Oh, come on. There are times you have been mad as a wet hen, thinking God was against you. And you're just all upset. Let me tell you something. Do not come to the place when he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus meant that. Let's dive into this because we got a little ground to cover. God is committed to stand by us. John 14:18, I wanted to prove this to you. I will never I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The whole idea about, I like that scripture about orphans. The final two children the Lord had us adopt. Actually, really, all four of our boys, I guess, were orphans. They really were. Because our... our oldest son was abandoned by his family. And then when they did catch his family, they weren't fit to take care of him, so he was orphaned. Our next oldest son, he went through a lot of difficulties, but the issue with him was his father was in jail, and his mother died of an overdose when he was 5 years old. And he was traumatized when he found her dead on the sofa. Think he'd been orphaned? Then our last two boys, they were from Romania. And the reason why they were in lockdown or whatever you want to call it is their family chose alcohol over children. That's being orphaned. Then you find that out later on in life, you're thinking, you know, and I won't go into all the detail of this, but it's such a painful thing to have on. But Jesus says, I will not leave you leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is coming to you today. That you have any doubt that he is for you, I believe those things, those doubts will be eradicated or be removed. Well, God is consistently committed to those who will put their trust in him. That means our strength and courage will cause us, or come from our reliance upon the Holy Spirit's operation in our lives. The Holy Spirit has the ability, as you submit to him, to define, and if for no other better words, he's able to. Many people go through a lot of therapy, and I have nothing against therapists at all. I think they do a wonderful work, especially a Christian therapist. God will use some of their knowledge and stuff will help you. But on the other hand, there's some people who need something right now. And God is a right now God. And he can reach behind the curtain and find a way to access the places where you hurt the most. And he's going to do it for somebody here today and bring you into wholeness and to purity. Well, the strength and courage is ours when we choose to remember God's faithfulness and provision. You know something? Let me ask you a simple question. How did you get here today? I didn't ask you what you drove here today. But how did you get here today? I need to tell you, the grace of God brought you here today. You say, I decided to go to church. I moved my clock forward, honey. I am here on time. You could be here on time and get nothing. Or did you come here expecting that God was going to do something in your life? I think there's a hunger in this, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, of people who really want to connect with God. And you're in the right place. You're at the right time, and God can do that. Well, every day of our life is designed to fortify our faith. Now, our faith to move into our purpose will require obedience. Joshua 1:16, this is an interesting scripture. You'll find it behind me. It says this. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Oh boy, isn't that something. That word all will trip you up. Because I'm afraid in our culture, we have what's called selective obedience.
Come on, man, that's good.
Well, we'll see it. We'll try it and see if it works. But you got your backup plan. With Jesus, there is no backup plan. It's just Jesus. And he will work. The Bible says this, he will perfect. The word perfect means mature those things that are concerning you. You may not understand it today, but I'll tell you what, you stay with him long enough, you'll understand, oh, that's the reason why he didn't do it. See, you were so mad about God and he didn't bring that person around at the right time, so you picked one on your own? Woo! I'm going to leave that alone. But it's called buyer's remorse. Yes, Jesus. He's in the house. Okay. We'll find strength and courage when we choose to remember from where the Lord has brought us. Somebody say amen right here. I want you to stop right now for the next 10 seconds, and I want you just to remember the most crucial thing in your life that God delivered you from. Just remember right now. Just take a chance. Remember. Is it hard to find it? Uh-uh. It comes right up on the screen. Now tell him thank you. Because we need to remember when things are falling apart, the wheels are falling off the cart. It's like, you're like, God ain't done nothing for me. That's the devil. When you start rehearsing the blessing of God, then all of a sudden, oh, and then there was a time, and pretty soon you are full of gladness. You're full of joy. You're full of thanksgiving. The Bible says, I will enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving. That's what we need to do. Well, Jesus desires for us to prosper as we move forward in our walk with him. The hindrance to our moving forward are things that would bog us down, and we choose to meditate on his faithfulness. Then go back to, it says this, strength and courage come from rehearsing God's blessings. Joshua 1:8, go back a little bit. He says this, this book of the law, book of Moses, shall not depart from your mouth, but upon it you shall meditate day and night. I want to give you a sure formula or way to break depression. The Word of God. I know you feel kind of blue and disappointed and this type of thing, but I dare you to start reading the Word of God. If you can just go to the most familiar psalm that we know of in Psalm 23. Is the Lord your shepherd? And David's experience was, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is leading me. And I won't go any far to exegete that, but I think that's important for us to remember. He says, but this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but it says, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according to, all. What does all mean? It means all. Everything. As we look into the word, it will remind us of the faithfulness of God. We meditate on the word of God, is taking time to consider all he has promised. But we must choose to live in constant reminder of how we can live in freedom serving the Lord. You know, some people have been tricked, or I don't know what the word would be, to think that living for the Lord is a bunch of I can'ts. I shouldn't.
That's good. That's good.
Well, yeah, I would serve Jesus, but you know, it's just kind of, it's too constricting. I just gotta be me. And how is that, how far has that got you so far? Turn the page and let God do something miraculous in your life. Moving on, Jesus desires for his disciples to pursue the territory and promises before them. Back to Joshua 1, verse 11 that we looked at. Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. When I talk about vision for the future, I think that I can get chapter, and so can many other people too. If we have no vision for what's ahead of us, it seems like the same old thing. Nothing's really going on. And we tire over the fact of laboring and not seeing any return for it. But this is interesting, that God desires us to pursue his promises. Now, here's the issue. And I guess I'm allowed to say it because I'm here today. If your vision, the only vision you have for your life is, I'm serving Jesus because I don't want to go to hell. Shallow how. Or turn, flip it over. If I can just make it to heaven, that'll be good enough for me. Really, everybody else can go to hell and you're going to heaven. Neither one of those work. Your vision has to be more than just heaven or hell. It's doing what God has assigned you to do while you're here. I'm going to expand on that in just a moment, but consider this. He puts us in places where our faith is challenged. If you're in a place today where your faith is challenged, I want to tell you right now, you're in the right place. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Oh, God, I don't like this. This is too hard for me. No, you are right where God wants you. You will not grow unless your faith is challenged. You will not be all that God intends for you to be unless your faith is challenged. Just make it nice and easy and see how far you get. A person who is weight training does not go for a 5-pound barbell. Oh, yes. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, there's nothing to this. I'm talking about you right now. You've been reading the same scripture forever. Well, I don't get in the deep stuff. I just want to get something I can just kind of just like. God is moving you away from pablum, Similac. I can't think of the other one. You need some meat and leave the Doritos alone. I'm going to try to help you today to be what God wants you to be. God, help me. Oh, hindrance to our moving forward are things that would bring us down if we had never experienced divine intervention. I can give you so many illustrations where people were out there and thought this was the end. Real quickly, the storm. They're out in the storm, in the midst of the storm. Waves are just going around them. It's midnight, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. They just can't see in any way that they're gonna get through it. And they see Jesus walking on the water and they say, oh, it's a ghost! And they're all ready to just freak out. And Peter, of all people, gets a vision. And this is what he says. Master, if it's you, let me walk where you're walking. I want that faith to jump in somebody today who's going through a storm. And so, Lord, I know the waves are high. I know the wind is blowing, but somehow I see you in the midst of it. And regardless of the waves and all the wind, I need to come where you are. Now, some of us, you said, well, now, God, calm the storm, make everything nice and smooth, and I'll be there. It doesn't work like that all the time. But when you're in his presence, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It's when you're with Jesus. I hope you'll respond to the word, that the one word that he said that turned water into sidewalk. Come. God's saying that to some of you today. Come. Get out the boat. Leave your homies behind. Walk to Jesus. I know that's a little modernized, but that'll work today. Well, obedience is more than a temporary forfeiture of our heart's desire. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So many examples in Scripture. But let me just move on to this thought. We must relinquish our rights to our personal comfort and preference. Wow. There is an app for about anything you can think of to remind you to do things and this type of stuff, and I can't even keep track of all of them. You don't even have to think anymore. I got the app on my phone. I don't have to do that anymore. I just look at my app and it tells me everything. I have a question for you. Where is your brain? You say, oh, this is just wonderful. And so what we call wonderful is sometimes gives us an excuse not to be all that God wants us to be. Well, here we go. We must prepare ourselves for divine intervention. And I want to go to Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, because it's a good place for us to understand that there's a transition about to occur. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The word sanctify is an interesting word, because I think it's probably more misunderstood than any other word that I think in Christendom. Because sanctify many times meant make yourself holy. And I believe that sanctification is a process. At the same time as being a process, sanctification is a decision before you enter into the process. Decide now how you want it to be then. And so the sanctification is to sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, that is a word that you don't need a whole lot of definition for, because the word sanctify means put away those things that would hinder you from going to the battle and being successful. Now, I don't have to tell anybody the things that are holding themselves up right now, that's keeping you from being all Jesus wants you to be. You know. And we'll get to that in just a moment in a little bit more detail. But this is what he's saying, that we must prepare ourselves for the things that Jesus wants to do in our lives. We must not make any permanent decisions based upon temporary circumstances. That payday loan. I know the interest is 49%. But it's just for a season. And you know, I want you to say, but here's the deal. Sometimes you see that is the only way out. You haven't asked Jesus. You haven't asked anybody else. He said, oh, yes. And, you know, well, I won't call the different names. I know a lot of these companies. You know, and you might work for one of them, so I don't mean to leave it alone. But have you ever come to the place of deciding, Jesus, you can do this? And we sing about all these songs about give me your heart and give me my heart, give me my life, da 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 da. Well, today we're going to put up or cease from talking. I was going to say shut up, put up or close our lips. Let me repeat this. You must not make a permanent decision based upon temporary circumstances. Patrick, forgive me for this one. Just in case you know, he's a hardcore Fuhrer. The difference between a bad haircut and a good haircut is 4 to 6 weeks. Am I right about it? Can I get an amen in the house? Your hair may be jacked up, but if you wait 4 or 6 weeks, it's coming back. Now, in my case, that's not possible, but that's okay. But do not make a decision, a bad decision, out of the urgency of the moment. Now, God can rescue any situation, but every day the Lord will give us opportunities for growth. We must be willing to embrace each day with courage and faith, knowing He is guiding our steps. Somebody say amen. Let me take you to this scripture. It's kind of be an anchor one for the rest of the things I have to say in the next few moments. Our future may not always be reflected in our present surroundings. Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. This scripture, I hope it will encourage you. But it starts off depressing. Here we go. Though the fig tree may not blossom, no fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Somebody start right there. I want you to stop looking at what is right now. And you can say it for what it is. But it doesn't need to stop you from rejoicing in God. Because if you're looking for all this, well, I'll rejoice when there's fruit on the vines or the olive tree is back to where it's supposed to be. He says, yeah, well, and then it says, the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on high hills, the chief musician with my stringed instruments. You can't stop me praising Jesus. It's not predicated on what's in the stall or what's on the vine or anything of this nature. And I want to unpack this for you as best I can in the next few moments. We must not take our cues for success from things that are all around us. So some of you look and say, oh, it's going to be a bad day today. Who told you that? Oh, I'm just not feeling it. What are you looking for? Do not be ruled by your feelings. Let faith take hold of you. Things that we thought would be successful may not reflect the final product Jesus is developing in and through us. Here's a time for you to vote and be a Christian. How many have ever tried something and failed? You're still here. That's shocking. Failure is not an indictment against you as a person. God is still faithful no matter if you fail or not. Remember, I will never leave you or forsake you. God says, oh, loser, done. That's what the devil will tell you. Our circumstances may lag behind what the Lord has purposed to be our future success. Well, patient endurance is kind of an interesting word, but the Lord has called us to that. The Lord may be unpredictable, but he's faithful. And I got this from a magazine article I was reading, and that just stuck out to me. The Lord is unpredictable, but faithful. Boy, you talk about tension between two words. Ever tried to guess what God was going to do and be wrong? Oh, I know what God's going to do. I see it right now. How's it working for you? And sometimes we feel like God's going to do it in our time frame. Ever been wrong in your time frame? But if it had worked in your time frame, God had something totally different that he wanted to have accomplished. I want you to throw your little wall clock away and get on God's time frame and let him do the work he wants to do through you. You will frustrate yourself to death trying to predict certain things from God. What he wants is somebody who will be faithful, and no matter what, no, neither height nor depth, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. It doesn't matter what happens, what comes or goes, what's in or out, what's up or down, God is faithful and he will take care of those things concerning me. Somebody say amen. Well, it's amazing to me. We must not allow our thoughts to hinder the design purpose of God. Let me move real quickly to conclusion here. If we want something that we never had, we must be willing to do something that we have never done before. What? That seems stupid. No, it's not. Some of you today, I don't know how many some of you today, will be challenged by the Holy Spirit to do something you've never done before. But you know where it starts? Where it starts in your life? Forgiveness. I will forgive them when they admit how wrong they were or how much they hurt me. Oh, good luck with that. Because you have put that in the hands of somebody else, and your whole progress as a believer is held hostage by someone who ain't thinking about you. You could rot, burn in hell, they don't care. But you're holding this bitter thing against them. God says, forgive them today. I'll tell you why. On the cross, he's stretched out wide. He says, Father, and all of his accusers in front, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But you say, but here's how we turn around. She knew what she was doing, and she did it anyway. So I ain't gonna forgive her. She knew that would hurt me. She knew she stole my husband. Come on. I'm going to get real with you. It doesn't matter what they did. It's the thing, are you willing to let go and let God fix it? You can't fix it. You can't change it. But I'll tell you one thing, you can put the devil to flight when you start forgiving folks. So I'm not going to be held hostage another day. Well, I know somebody said, this is my day. Good. Ups and downs have nothing to do with whether God is able to come through for us. Some of you are up here, down here. Swing low, sweet chariot, come forward, carry me home, swing low. You know the one. I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down. Come forward, carry me home. You know that old song. But you know, and the whole thing about looking for the chariot to get out of here. But I'm going to tell you, you're not done until God says it's over. And he'll carry you through the ups and the downs and everything else. We're just about to the stopping place, and I'm so thankful. Preparing to cross over the Jordan, Joshua chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. We'll read through these real quickly, and we'll be done. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgahites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Move on to the next verse. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the water shall come down from the upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. But you got to step in the water. You have to step into something that looks like it's suicide. You have to step into something that makes no sense. So why would I want to step into that thing? This is raging water that overflows the banks many times. God says, if you do this, you're about to see a miracle. Well, simply put, it just means that God is going to do some things that you thought were pretty much impossible. But he'll do it. Without a doubt, the Lord will work miracles to move you into your destiny. But consider this. What are you willing to... I have three questions for you as we're ending up today. And worship team, you can make your way up here. What are you willing to do in order for Jesus to be in control of your life? That's a question for you. What do you want to do? Well, can I get back to you on that? No. Secondly, what are you willing to stop doing in order for his glory to be revealed in your life? Oh boy. See, that's not one thing you have to figure out. Do you know right now there are things that you should not be doing? And tomorrow never comes. Number three, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the degree of hunger you have for God's will to be done in and through you? Only you can answer that. On a scale of 1 to 10, well, 5, maybe? If you'd asked me last Sunday, it would have been 7. Ooh, I'm a 5. And you're happy with that? Oh. The little part I didn't get to, and I think it's important to get it to, Joshua chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, because it's the stone of remembrance. We must be willing to take up stones of remembrance to remind us of God's faithfulness. Joshua 4, 2 through 6. Here it goes. Take for yourselves 12 men from each tribe, 1 man from every tribe. Command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet firmly stood, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Get to the next few verses. Sorry about that. I need to... Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, and 1 man from each and every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord of your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulders, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Then verse 6. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Ooh. Some of us need to pick up some stones of remembrance. And I believe it's going to happen today. For people in this house that are willing to make some steps toward Jesus and abandon some of their futile efforts of the past. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody, 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 everybody. About halfway through this message, many of you thought, you said, this is a day for me to change, and you are absolutely 100% correct. Some of you for the first time, and others of you who have been around the church and have known Jesus for a long period of time. But when it says, when you talk about the passion of how your heart's burning for the Lord, the passion's been gone. If you say 1 through 10, you say maybe a 3, some days maybe it's a 2, and some days, I don't know, the fire's gone out. That's not an indictment. It's just an opportunity and an invitation for you to allow Jesus to cause you to remember the time when your heart, your light was burning bright for him. The day you got saved, the day you knew your sins were washed away, that passion, that love for him doesn't need to die. For others of you with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, that said, you know, I want to love a God like that, who's not holding things against me, who will allow me to be comforted in the days where I feel like I'm comfortless. And today I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have Jesus' peace in my life. Listen to me as I pray. If it's you at the end of my prayer, I want to invite you to connect with a Jesus who's able to take all the darkness out of your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every other name, in the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, Lord of the ages. Lord, I just want to walk through some pain that people have gone through this last week, pain of failure to meet their own expectations and the expectations of others. The lies and the accusation of the enemy that says you'll never change, you'll never be anything that God wants you to be, that you just have to stay in the place where you are. The guilt of being relapsing into habits we thought that we'd taken care of. The guilt and shame of trying to hide certain things about ourselves so people won't find out. God, can we expose our heart to you and receive love from you and be released from this bondage? Because Lord, you brought us to this day. You brought us to the 12th day of March, brought us through these doors, and you didn't bring us here just to listen to a sermon. You brought us here to change our lives so we can be everything that you want us to be. And God, I pray that that spirit would fall upon people today, whether they've known you for a while or it's a first time experience. Jesus, touch them right now.